You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is a great week. It is Teacher Appreciation Week, and we're showing appreciation for our educators, and we're going to do that with some of our friends from LCMS School Ministry and one of our schools here in the St. Louis area. We're going to talk with an educator from Emmanuel Lutheran School, Church and School in St. Charles, Missouri. Hope you can stick around for the conversation. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website, KFUO.org, and look for the sponsor section there in the on the website. So, well, it is Teacher Appreciation Week, and I have some educators in studio with me today that I appreciate who have taken some time away from their regular work to come share with us about teachers and how much we appreciate them. A familiar voice here on Faith and Family, Dr. Rebecca Schmidt, Associate Director, LCMS School Ministry. Becky, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy. It's always a pleasure to be here.
I always love talking about our schools with you and with Terry and others from school ministry here at the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And you brought along with you today a colleague and a friend as well, Lee Wagner, Early Childhood Director at Emmanuel Lutheran School in St. Charles, Missouri. Lee, welcome.
Thank you very much, Andy, and all of our little blessings at Emmanuel. Say hi to everyone.
Wonderful. I love hearing from our schools, from our kids, and from our educators as well. How many little ones do you have in early childhood at Emmanuel?
We are blessed with over 140 little blessings.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That must stay pretty busy. Keep people on the move there at Emmanuel.
They do. They keep us active all day long. Absolutely.
Well, tell me a little bit about you. Have been at Emmanuel for some time now. We were talking before the program, over 30 years. Tell me a little bit about your service at Emmanuel in the 30 years plus that you've been there.
My husband and I were blessed to accept a call at Emmanuel. And he is the 7th and 8th grade science teacher, and I started as a 1st grade teacher, and then I was able to stay home and be with my little ones, and then I came back to teaching, and I've taught in 1st grade several years, and now I moved down to preschool, although it's been 10 years now, and early childhood, and it's just been fun every day with the little ones.
What do you love most about early childhood?
I think it's their smiles, their giggles, their laughs, and their spontaneous hugs.
Absolutely. My son is 2.5, and he attends St. Mark's in Eureka. And when I go in to pick him up in the afternoons, and that's just it. They know all the kids are smiling. Well, maybe one or two are crying, but a lot of them are smiling and all excited when a parent comes in to pick up somebody, and they're all excited and want to know what's going on, or they announce it to everyone else. And so I love seeing the children in the Early Childhood Center at our school as well. Well, it is National Teacher Appreciation Week, and Becky, you brought along some history for us about this and other information for us to share about National Teacher Appreciation Week.
Absolutely. Well, we know, Andy, we know how very, very important our teachers are, and in our schools, they spend the majority of the day with children that have been entrusted to their care. So what better way to really honor teachers than to establish a day and time where we can specifically show our appreciation? The history of National Teacher Appreciation Day actually comes from the mid-40s, 1944. Political and educational leaders first began discussions for a day to honor teachers. And then in 1953, Eleanor Roosevelt persuaded the 81st Congress to proclaim a National Teachers Day. Congress declared March 7, 1980 as National Teacher Day. And since then, the National Education Association continued to observe Teachers Day on the first Tuesday in March until 1985. Then the National Parent Teacher Association established Teacher Appreciation Week as the first full week of May. And since then, they have voted to make the Tuesday of that week National Teacher Day. National Teacher Day is an unofficial national holiday. But we think it should be an official holiday, don't you, Lee?
Absolutely.
And we
Absolutely.
Also think it should be every day of the year. So
Absolutely.
We're glad to be here. But our hope is that our thoughts today will be carried on throughout the coming days and weeks and years ahead.
Absolutely. And I know as a parent that we do appreciate our teachers and my wife and I and the other parents of our child's class all try to make sure that during this week that we let those teachers know how much we appreciate them. But we do that throughout the year as well. We try to let them know that we appreciate them at other times. It's important to do that because it's a partnership. You know, as we work together to raise up our child in this Christian faith, we have engaged in this partnership with our school as well to help us do that. And so we're very grateful for those who have prepared for this work, for this service, to help us raising our child in this one true faith. We're grateful for that. So a neat history here of Teacher Appreciation Day, Teacher Appreciation Week, because one day isn't enough. We just do it all week long and then all year long as well. Now, this is significant for LCMS schools as well as we talk about teachers. We have a history with the Lutherans have a long history of being educators and schools and educational ministry being an important part of our history, right?
It is. It's a critical part of our history. In fact, 175 years of bringing up children and families through Lutheran schools in the U.S. and that is a rich history of Christian education. And today we have 2,068 schools that are in operation, early
really?
Childhood centers, elementary
wow.
schools, and high schools. We also have 3 international schools overseas. And in those schools, we have 20,000 teachers that are serving children and families. And so that is an amazing commitment on the part of teachers and on the part of our synod and congregations who are operating these schools for Christian education and in service to families.
If I would have guessed how many schools and how many teachers we had, I wouldn't have guessed those numbers. I was way off. Would you have known that?
No, that is amazing.
2,068 schools, Lutheran schools, that's, wow. That's great. As you mentioned, we have a large number of early childhood centers, elementary schools, high schools, and some international schools as well. And so serving in those 20,000 teachers, that's great. Think of all the children that are growing up in those schools that are hearing and being cared for in the name of Jesus. That's outstanding. Well, that's important to me as a parent. I know to many of our parents who are listening today. What does this mean? What goes on in Lutheran schools as these teachers are working diligently to partner with us as parents?
Well, Andy, we cherish the Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And this is at the heart of what we do. It's the mission of every Lutheran school to develop that partnership with families, to equip children, to raise disciples for that next generation of Christian leaders. But after that, a day in the life can take on many forms. And so, Lee, can you share some of the day in the life of what happens when the alarm goes off on a school morning at Emmanuel?
Well, when the alarm goes off on a school morning at Emmanuel, the buzzer's buzzing at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we have teachers that are greeting children and parents as they come in for that early morning care. And children come in all kind of disarray and excitement, and so do parents. They're coming in harried and running around, or they're coming in tired and exhausted from the day. We greet them all with a smile, and we greet the children with a smile and a love too, no matter what time they come in. But it's always exciting in those early morning hours.
You're right. Those early mornings, especially, I'm sure, with early childhood, but really children of any age. I always have to laugh when I hear that song, Easy Like Sunday Morning, because yes. I thought, whoever wrote this never tried to get a toddler ready for church on Sunday
so
morning.
True.
And I know that now my wife handles the preparations for school each morning, because I'm out the door way before most of them are even thinking about, or hopefully they're still asleep by the time I leave. But she does the daily get ready for school thing, and I noticed that some days they're out the door ready to go at a set time, and other days it takes a little more effort to get out the door and get there. That's just the way it is with children, right?
It is exactly that way. And sometimes they're coming in and they're all excited, ready to go. And sometimes there's a little bit of tears going on. And the teachers just gently surround them with their love and their hugs and wave goodbye to the parents and say everything will be okay. And then about 10 minutes later, those parents will get a little text with a picture of the child happily playing with his friends in the toys and in the blocks area or something like that. We make sure that we send home happy text when something happens in the morning that the parents might be worried about as they walk out the door.
I'm sure that's appreciated by many parents, just that assurance that it's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
I can relate to that. I understand that, you know, when dropping your kid off in the morning, there something else went wrong, and who knows what it might be. You may not even know as the parent what it is, but there's something that just makes them clingy and they don't want to let go and they're upset about something. And as you have a time, you know, as you're in a crunch, and so you have to leave them. But it's amazing how resilient the young children are, and can whatever it was that was bothering them before, change of scene,
they completely forgot right. 2 minutes later. Yes.
Sometimes.
Yes. Sometimes. That's true. That's true. When you come back later on at the end of the day and they're still crying, then that's trouble. Well, that's a nice way and comfort for parents to know that, you know, to get that little reassurance. It's okay. They're moving on. So we have the before school routine, getting settled in. Where do we go from there?
Well, our staff meets for morning devotions every morning at 7:45. So we have a word in the Lord and encouragement from God's word. And then at 8 o'clock, all the children throughout the school come in greeting excitedly running through the doors. And we have our administration, our principals, and our pastors are all standing at the doors greeting children and parents as they're ready for another exciting day of school. And we'll have pastors that are there singing with them and giving them high five. We're really blessed to have that communication with parents and pastors.
How important is that in a Lutheran school that pastors be a part of the work, the ministry that happens in a school to build those relationships?
Oh my goodness, it is so important. And we are so blessed with all of our pastors. They give us positive support. They proclaim the good news of Emmanuel School throughout services, throughout being just the presence that they have there and passing out ring pops and greeting the parents and smiles on their faces, and they are a positive influence. And that also supports the teachers and what they're doing to know that they have the support of the pastor in everything that we do.
It's absolutely critical as parents get to know the pastor. For many of the students at Emmanuel and in many of our schools, we have numbers as high as 50 or 60% that are not Lutheran that are attending our early childhood programs and in many of our schools. And so these families don't have a regular connection on Sundays. So when the pastor is involved and they're meeting parents and greeting parents and developing that relationship, that family becomes acquainted. And then if there are questions arise, they feel much more comfortable approaching a pastor or allowing themselves to become more interested in what the church has to offer.
So that time invested in building those relationships, just being present, being visible and interacting in the morning before things really get started in the classroom is so worth the investment, so that, as you pointed out, when questions or even problems arise in the future, that relationship is already there, rather than trying to build a relationship very quickly when trying to answer questions or respond to a problem.
Absolutely. But it's so important for the teacher to have that pastoral presence and a place to turn. And often teachers are the ones that are receiving the questions. Tell me more about baptism. My child's talking about this that they heard in school, and to have someone who can help support them and work through the many issues and situations that families experience is a great support.
You bring up a great point as you were talking about the number of students or families that aren't aren't Lutheran. I'm sure many aren't church. There are at least a certain percentage of our schools, of children who attend our schools and their families, don't have a church home, a church that they call home. And so, you know, to have pastors and teachers working together to support them, what a great ministry, a great outreach to those families. As the children learn in the school, and as you pointed out, you know, when parents have questions about what their children are learning in school, what a great opportunity to witness to the whole family. Have you seen that happen, Lee?
Absolutely. We've seen parents that have coming up and telling the teachers, you know what, we never used to pray before. Now we mm-hmm. it's adamant we have to pray before we eat. We see parents that are coming and coming to our worship services and becoming a part of our worship services and becoming a part of the church then itself. We see parents that are asking questions and seeking answers, and they're all being brought by their little children. Their little children are the mm-hmm. ones that are encouraging them. And that all starts with the teachers that are shining the love of Jesus each and every day, each and every hour. As I was walking out today in the hallways, one of the teachers was zipping up, helping zip up every coat and saying, remember, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. And she was telling that to all mm-hmm. of the different ones as she was zipping up their coats. And it's just constant.
As a parent, it's been fun and encouraging for me, for my son to learn songs at school and bring them home and share them with us and sing them. Now, we don't always understand the words because he's 2.5, so we don't always get all the words right. But it's been fun learning some of the songs that he's been learning at school too, hearing them at home. That's been great. And the same thing, you know, because they're doing that, because the teachers are teaching that and doing that in love, he wants to share them with us in love too. Well, before we go further into the day, I was thinking about this just a little bit ago of as we're talking about teacher appreciation, that there must have been teachers in your life that you're grateful for, that have made an impact on you, that led you to consider your vocation, you know, this vocation as educator. Who are the teachers that have made a difference for you that you're thankful for, Lee?
Well, that one is easy. I'm thankful for my 4th, 5th, and 6th grade teacher. He made a huge impact in my life, not only in school, but also at home. He was my dad. And I saw him. He had a joy in the classroom, and he made teaching exciting. And he came home, and he made life exciting, too. And I have to give all the thoughts to my dad for showing me mm-hmm. the joy of teaching. And he, as I went on, he said, Lee, when you go out teaching, it's a ministry. And he said, whenever it becomes work for you, then you know you have to stop. He said, you have to have a joy for the ministry. And I've always remembered those words from Dad, and every day I go in and have lots of fun in the ministry that we have.
Well, I'm glad that it's a joy for you and thankful for your dad. What's your dad's name?
My dad's name is Lyle Kurth.
Lyle?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
It's a small world.
Oh, no. Everybody knows Dad.
Yeah.
No.
What a small world. How about you, Becky? Who are the educators, who are the teachers that that had an impact on you and maybe made that that shaped your desire to be an educator?
I think there were two, Andy. I remember my 4th grade teacher. Her name was Mrs. Brown, and she had probably one of the early project development kinds of teachers, because 4th grade was a long time ago for me, but it was great. It was very creative. It was enriched with the arts, and I remember sitting in my little assigned desk in January thinking, when are we going to start working in here? I wonder if I'm going to be ready for 5th grade, and not even realizing how much I loved that class and loved her style of teaching and was so inspired. And then I can confess, I'll be honest, I hadn't not really thought about education as a career or a career path, but I had a high school teacher and I was trying to fill out my credits, and I took an elective where we were at a K-12 campus where I would go over to the elementary building and work with special needs students. And so I had a particular student assigned for the semester, and we did the graded oral, which is kind of an assessment piece for reading. And the student made several significant gains. And at the end, she said, you do a good job with this. You are really good at this, and you really ought to consider this. And so years later, that stuck, still kept in the back of my mind, and eventually I did transfer into the education department and really feel God's hand in that whole process.
Well, thanks be to God for those teachers who made that difference in your life and that pushed you, encouraged you along the way to become educators as well. I know for me, I had a lot of great teachers through elementary school. I attended public school through all the way through high school and even my first 2 years of college, and then had some great professors at Concordia University, River Forest, now Concordia University, Chicago. And I'm very grateful for them. And an educator myself as well, my true color showing through. Not a typical classroom teacher, though, director of Christian education. And I had many professors along the way in preparation for that I'm very thankful for as I studied to become a DCE. And many of them share that same passion for teaching that they have been gifted in this way. And the Lord has given them this opportunity to serve in education, in Christian education in this way. And I'm very thankful for them. All right, let's go back to the day at school. What happens in a day at school? We were talking about faculty devotions and greeting families. What happens throughout the day after we get through that morning routine? What else happens throughout the day? What does a typical day look like in Emmanuel?
A typical day looks like welcoming the children in your classroom, starting with devotions, having a Jesus time, going outside for recess, just the joys of math and science and learning all day long, sprinkling in bathroom breaks and fixing boo-boos and all the other things that happen with it. And then, you know, lunch is so exciting and gym time and recess time. And it's just an action-packed day that every teacher has to be prepared for all day long, and also has to be very flexible because things change all day long throughout the day, too.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned lunchtime. That's a key social time for students. You know, during the classroom time, there's some social interaction depending on how they're working and together and learning together. But I know lunch is a very social time. And I'm fascinated how much of a difference it makes for my son when he has lunch with his teachers and his classmates than when he's eating with us at home. We send his lunch with him, and quite often it comes home quite empty, whereas at home, he doesn't eat nearly as much. So there's something about that social interaction where he tends to eat more when he's at school, which I think is great because we're trying to get him to eat all the time.
That's because they're so busy talking that they just keep eating and they don't even realize that they're eating while they're talking. But the teachers are very busy. They sit with the children, and they're sitting with the children during lunchtime. They're outside playing with the children on the playground. Teachers are constantly on the go.
I remember as a college student working as a substitute teacher, and the younger grades, especially when I would substitute for kindergarten, which I love doing, but when I would substitute for kindergarten, I remember I had to take a nap after I got done for the day. Like, you know, 3:30, I'm at home taking a nap on the couch because I was exhausted from those younger grades. Because you're right, you're there doing everything. There are like no mental breaks throughout the day for early childhood teachers, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
I remember, you know, how many shoes to tie and how many things. There's so much attention to detail for little ones, and you're right, on the playground, in the lunchroom, wherever it is, you're always on when you're an early childhood teacher.
And I have great respect for the older teachers too, because they're always on in a different type of a way.
Absolutely. You can't let your guard down there either.
No.
That's true. But I remember just being so exhausted after those early childhood days.
Yes.
So throughout the day, teachers interact with the students. There's a lot of instruction, whether it's group instruction, individualized instruction. There's always, especially in early childhood, the teacher is always right there interacting with the students in those settings. How important is it to know each child's strengths and their areas for growth as a teacher?
It's absolutely critical, Andy. And one of the things that we don't often talk about is all of the preparation that teachers do in terms of preparing for the classroom experience. And probably one of the most hurtful comments a teacher might hear is, oh, I know why you do this. It's because of June, July, and August. and you get to go home at 3 o'clock. And those are...
How many teachers go home at 3 o'clock?
I know a very few.
Not many.
Because the days of being a generalist where you can teach the whole class at one time and it's a lecture style are gone. Mm-hmm. And we know that there are more effective ways. And meeting the needs of children means devising as many as 5 to 10 different mm-hmm. approaches in terms of preparing a lesson. So, and then the assessment and reteaching and monitoring the progress is a very, very critical part of a teacher's day.
You mentioned that, you know, because of June, July, and August, that talking about how much time teachers invest. I remember in high school, even in middle school as well, some of my teachers, you know, my high school started at like 7:15 in the morning. It was very, very early, 7:15, 7:20, somewhere around there. So I remember teachers being there, you know, at 6:30 in the morning, and some even doing work with students, you know, outside of class before school started. And then likewise after school as well, some who were teaching or coaching, not leaving school until, you know, 6:30 or later. So, you know, doing 12-hour days. And that's sometimes not including the papers they were grading as well. That's a long day.
That's very true. There's a lot of things that happen for a teacher at home.
Mm-hmm. They have homework too.
And they have homework too.
Especially for Lutheran teachers, because, you know, we have to, the resources that God has given us, we want to be good stewards of those. And sometimes we stretch those as far as we can when it comes to those resources. So that might mean that teachers have, especially Lutheran teachers, have more work to do beyond the scenes that we see, behind
yes.
the scenes. Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break. Do you all have time to stick around for more? I know I said a half an hour before, but do you have time? I know we have more to talk about. Can we stick around for a little while?
We absolutely can.
Okay, great. Thank you. See, teacher's always willing to give more.
That's right.
We are talking teacher appreciation today on Faith and Family, and we're talking with our friends from Lutheran School Ministry here at the International Center and Emmanuel Lutheran School in St. Charles, Missouri. We'll be back in just a little bit. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
It is Teacher Appreciation Week. I'm Andy Bates. You're listening to Faith and Family. We are giving thanks to God for our teachers, especially today, talking about the service of our Lutheran teachers, the work that they do, the tireless work that they do, but yet is much appreciated by parents, by students. And we're talking with Dr. Rebecca Schmidt, Associate Director of LCMS School Ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Lee Wagner, Early Childhood Director, Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in St. Charles, Missouri. Before we went to break, we were talking about what goes on in a school during the day. And we've been talking a lot about what happens in an early childhood classroom at Emmanuel and the importance of this team approach as pastors and parents and teachers all work together. We talked about what happens in the morning and now throughout the day. I think right before we went to break, we were talking about the ways we go about education individually. individualized, you know, understanding, you know, each child's needs and their strengths and areas for work. What else is important to consider as we we're thinking about what happens in a school day? Becky?
Well, one of the things that is very important is that we need a strong academic program. Mm-hmm. We need to be constantly researching best practice and providing an excellent program for children and students.
And in LCMS schools and Lutheran schools, how does that happen? How do we come about, you know, curriculum? How does that develop typically in a Lutheran school? I'm sure principals are involved in that. Are others involved in typically in Lutheran schools?
Well, principals are most certainly involved with that. And as part of their role as an instructional leader, looking at state standards, looking mm-hmm. At the types of curriculum, evaluating textbooks and programs is all a critical part of that. And most of it today is done through a curriculum mapping project, which also adds mightily to a teacher's work. So when the school has adopted the standards of that will be met and fulfilled, then recording the curriculum activities and lesson plans that are happening in the classroom that is a documenting mm-hmm. How those standards are reached and addressed. And so it becomes a very living document as mm-hmm. it's adjusted. It involves collaboration with a grade level teacher and then in a department level and then at a school wide level so that there is a consistent approach to what is being taught in the classes. This is important to ensure that students are ready for the next level. It's also important as we relate and share with parents what their children will experience in the classroom. And so the richer the collaboration, mm-hmm. the stronger the curriculum.
Now, Lee, you were, as Becky was starting to talk about how we select and prepare curriculum, you were nodding your head about that, what that looks
ongoing,
like.
Ongoing. We say the children are learning every day, but the teachers are learning every day mm-hmm. also. And it's an ongoing, living, breathing curriculum.
And quite often when it comes to curriculum, this is a lot of behind the scenes stuff that, you know, we as parents don't necessarily see all the hours, the time that goes into curriculum selection and then figuring out how that's going to work in our school setting. And then, you know, how do we go about teaching this? That's a lot of behind the scenes work. I have a friend who has recently received his call as a teacher next year. He's graduating from seminary and will be ordained this summer and called as a teacher. He served as a Lutheran teacher before and now being ordained serving as a teacher, but he'll be teaching in a high school where he'll be teaching five different subjects. As an educator, I thought about that in his first year at this school, teaching five different subjects. That means five different curricula that he has to learn and prepare lesson plans from in the next year. I can't imagine. I was just overwhelmed at the thought of that. I mean, each learning a new curriculum, sure, one subject each year seems realistic to me. But what about when you have to learn, you know, five new curricula in one year?
Absolutely. You're just on the go all the time and you're moving from one to another, but you're growing and learning as you move.
Well, that means you're developing, you know, you're writing lesson plans for each of those each
yes.
year as well.
Yes.
That's a lot of work as
a
teacher.
That's a lot of work. Teachers have a lot of behind the scenes.
So not only are teachers, you know, grading work at home. Now, I don't know, do you have a lot of work to grade in early childhood?
We don't have a lot of work to grade in early childhood, no. We have a lot of setup and a lot mm-hmm. of preparation before for all the centers that are going on and for all the different activities mm-hmm. that are going on. We have a lot of before the scenes, getting those prepared, and mm-hmm. a lot of afterwards, cleaning up
sure.
after all of our centers and all of that. And then documenting for journals and, mm-hmm. and documenting for student portfolios.
So not a lot of homework to take home at night.
Correct.
If so, then you would have like these giant
Correct.
Bags to carry
That's
everything
right.
home. Because there are a lot of things that appeal to the senses, I'm sure, in
yes.
early childhood.
Yes.
that would be big homework to take home. So not a lot of term papers to review in early childhood.
Not in early childhood.
So there's a lot of work behind the scenes in terms of preparation when it comes to curriculum, lesson planning, and for some grades, you know, for the higher grades, that also comes in reviewing and grading papers as well. A lot of prep and setup, especially in those early childhood years, when it comes to centers, as you said, a lot of preparation for those as well. Any other behind the scene things that I'm not thinking of?
You know, I think, Andy, too, when we think about grading papers. From generations past, it would be the paper with the red mark at the top. And today, most of this is done online through administrative software programs, and grades are uploaded. There's a great, each student would have their own account, and parents have access to that through a parent portal, and that works great if. When our teachers are able to get those in right away, parents have, it's an almost mm-hmm. an on-demand kind of situation. But with many teachers who are coaching and who have other responsibilities and are working with many extracurriculars, it's a difficult thing to do on top of that. So we have an added time pressure to many of these things. And especially in our high schools, many of our high schools are moving to offer academies, which have specialized subject areas that mm-hmm. Students can enroll in to develop an expertise or pursue an interest. And all of these require, we have many relationships with our universities with dual credit coursework. And so there are many, many additional programs that will serve students as they continue this preparation for their life's calling.
And then you have me coming along saying, hey, let's tell your story on KFUO, and pulling them out of mm-hmm. adding more to their plate. I love it, though. You know, being here in St. Louis, we have a lot of great Lutheran schools to pull from and share their stories. And during National Lutheran Schools Week, get to talk with Lutheran schools all around the world, really, all around. We try to get some international Lutheran schools in when we can as well to share their stories. And I just love sharing school stories here. So there are a lot of behind the scenes things when it comes to the teacher's work. Anything else about throughout the day or behind the scenes?
Well, I think one of the things that really sets our school apart is the rich focus in the fine arts, and many of our schools have a musical opportunities. They have mm-hmm. Concert opportunities and instrumental kinds of things, and so in addition to meeting the standards and the academic rigor, they are also involved in many of these extracurricular activities, and usually they're led by teachers.
Right. Yeah. As we were talking about earlier, that many teachers, they might start their day pretty early in the morning, and they may have some coaching responsibilities or other area of specialization outside of their classroom too, those extracurricular activities that they may do later on in the day as well. What about anything else about throughout the day, or any stories about related to what we've talked about so far, Lee?
Well, I think the one thing that's so important is I tell families as they come in and tour our facilities, I show them a picture of children drawn teachers. And I said, this is our biggest strength at Emmanuel, are our teachers. I say, our teachers love children. They love the Lord. They love to help each other. They love each other. They love to laugh. Mm-hmm. And I say the teachers are what make Emmanuel, Emmanuel. And I share that every day with all the parents. And I truly, truly believe it's the teachers that make the building what it is.
Sure. Teachers are a key part of this essential part to what happens in Christian education in a school. And that's interesting. You post the pictures that children, you said, have drawn
yes,
of the teachers.
Yes.
Tell me about some of those pictures. How do they depict the...
Oh, you got everything from a circle with a strange alien form to somebody with lots of curly hair. And it's just all children drawn, because those are the best pictures.
Those are drawn with love.
They are drawn with love. Absolutely. They are drawn with love.
Well, What, Becky, I see here in our notes, you have a note about Martin Luther. What's that about?
Well, Andy, our teachers are committed to their students and families. This is not a job. It's not a career. It's a vocation. And Martin Luther saw the value of Christian education and his premise that when children hear the word of God daily, it's like practicing the piano. You get better and better rather than once a week or a short period, an hour a day. It's every day, all day. And that's the premise for our schools. And he felt so strongly about it. He said, for the sake of the church, we must have and maintain Christian schools. And for that, we are deeply thankful for our teachers, our 20,000 plus teachers who are serving in our schools today, and for the teachers who served before us, like Lee's father, and the teachers who served before him for the past 175 years.
Wow. Now, as I'm thinking about the tireless work that goes into and Lee being a director for early childhood and being a classroom teacher as well, with the teachers that you serve with, maybe at Emmanuel or others, or maybe Becky, you might have a story about this too. Have you ever worked with a teacher where it got to the point where they're just not sure they can do this anymore, but they were able to get through? Any stories like that where you're working with a teacher and it was just, you know, they having a tough time, not really sure that they could get through it. Any stories like that?
I think every day, every teacher at every age has had to raise their right hand, place it on their heart and say, I will come back. Teaching is just such difficult work. And During that school day, there is so little time to reflect. It is the plans are in place and the day unfolds. And very often we don't know what's going to transpire in that day. And so it's being the leader, the teacher, it's being the nurse, it's being the psychologist, it's being the mediator, it's being Judge Judy, it's being it's all of these things rolled into the day with 15 to as many as 25 in a classroom, and each child has a different background, a different history, and a different journey, and how that all comes together can be overwhelming. And
maybe
and,
it's best that you don't have time to reflect during the day, so that you do come back tomorrow, right?
We did, and it's challenging to be a teacher today. Our society has taken several unpleasant steps of not uplifting this profession and the critical nature of helicopter parents and that all feeds into this. So a teacher really needs to be grounded. And be able to navigate these heavy waters, and that support comes from the principal, it comes from their pastor, it comes from this community that says we're not alone. And certainly, an important part of that community is that in Bible study and being connected to the Word and preserving this time that refreshes and renews and kind of brings things into perspective.
Certainly.
So the most important part when we see a teacher that needs to have that moment, I will come back, is the encouragement from the director, the principal, that how are things going? Maybe it's a quick relief. Why don't you take 15 minutes? I'll take the class. And follow up. And I think it's important that teachers know, especially our younger ones, that they're not alone, that we have all had those moments. We all had to start and learn the craft. And even when we learn it, we're still learning. So it's something new every day. It's something new every year. And preserving that energy and through renewal is an important part of this.
New every year, Becky, I think about we have themes every year at our school, and it might be witnessing always or together in Christ. And when I gather the early childhood staff together every year, I say what the school theme is, and now this is our theme. We also have our own extra theme down here, and the theme always seems to be the same. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So every year, every day, every moment, we say rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know, when it's rainy days outside and the kids have been in for 3 days,
no outside
rejoice
recess,
in the Lord
yeah.
always. When little Laurel is dancing down the hallway when she's supposed to be in the classroom and the teachers run and get her, rejoice in the Lord always. With the skinned knees and the ice packs, rejoice in the Lord always. With the paint spilled again and again and again, our teachers can look at each other and we just know, rejoice in the Lord always.
Becky, you brought up a good point, and I think that Lee really demonstrated this here, that the strength, the source of strength for our teachers is the Word of God. You know, this as you're referencing God's Word here, that we can rejoice, and we hear that in God's Word. As we have God's Word, that's what provides that strength for our teachers, for us as parents, for anyone serving their neighbor in this. And today, we're certainly giving thanks for our teachers who serve in this unique vocation. With just a few minutes left, I'd like to share some ideas, how we can thank teachers, how we can celebrate teachers for their service and partnering with us in raising up our children in this Christian faith. Some ideas. I know what we're doing for our teachers in early childhood out at St. Mark's, but did you bring some ideas along today of what we could do to celebrate and give thanks for our teachers?
Well, as parents, I think one of the most important things is just say thank you to the teachers, just mm-hmm. write notes. I think every teacher has a file in the back of their file cabinet where they stuff these beautiful handwritten notes by parents saying thank you for spending time with my child. That is a wonderful gift that the parents give the teachers. The greatest gift, of course, is giving your children to the teachers to be a part of their life. But mm-hmm. The little handwritten notes of thanks from the parents are wonderful. I remember I had a class that I looped. I taught a first grade and a second grade. I taught them in first grade and in second grade. And it was like the last day of school, and the kids were all excited because we were going to have this surprise mm-hmm. ice cream party in my classroom and all that after recess. And they were not saying anything, but she knew it was going on. And so I was going to be really surprised when I walked in to see the ice cream in my classroom. And when I opened the door, every mother of every student was sitting in my classroom in the middle of the day.
Wow.
They had taken off work. They had come wow. in, and all they were doing was their presence there was saying, thank you for mm-hmm. for being a part of my child's life. And that has meant more to me mm-hmm. than anything. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, that just demonstrates all the more how much this is a partnership between parents and teacher, between parents and school. And I think as congregations, too, we can give thanks to God for our teachers who have accepted that call to serve and to teach and to do so as a ministry on behalf of the congregation or the congregations that make up a school association. We can give thanks to God, as you were talking about earlier, Becky, in you know, Bible study, doing what we can to encourage those teachers in Bible study, whether it's on Sunday or at another time, gathering together with them for Bible study and encouraging them and giving thanks to them, giving thanks to God for them in those Bible studies as well. Well, we have just about a minute left. Anybody that you want to thank out at Emmanuel, St. Charles, or any shout-outs to give today as we wrap up?
Oh, I have shout-outs to all my little blessings out at Emmanuel, St. Charles, the little ones and the big ones and the super old ones that are out there.
We're grateful that they let you sneak away for a little while today.
Absolutely.
So we could talk about teachers and how we're thankful for them. Becky, any shout-outs, any schools or teachers that or students you want to say anything to today as we wrap up our time?
Absolutely. Serving as associate director, I now love all our schools. So all across the nation, students that are celebrating, teachers that are celebrating, administrators that are celebrating. Mm-hmm. We pray that they have a great week this day, and we thank them for everything that they're doing to to prepare the next generation of disciples.
And hang in there, teachers, hang in there. It's May. We'll take for some of us, we get to take a little break during the summer. I know many of our teachers also work tirelessly through the summers with day camps and things like that, and numerous programs going on. Hopefully they'll get a little break in there before we get into our summer busyness. So thanks so much, teachers, for all that you're doing. Especially, I want to say thanks to our teachers out at St. Mark's in Eureka for caring for my son and all of the students there at St. Mark's, doing a great job. Keep up the great work. Well, that wraps up our conversation for today. Again, thanks to our teachers. Thanks to our guest today, Becky Schmidt, Dr. Rebecca Schmidt, Associate Director at LCMS School Ministry. Thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And Lee Wagner, Early Childhood Director at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School in St. Charles, Missouri. Thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you for this gift.
Absolutely. God's blessings on your service at Emmanuel. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.